Hello, Catskills. Welcome to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour.
I'm Lissa Harris.
I'm Julia Reichel.
And the Watershed Post is a news hub, an a bracing antidote to the idea that nothing ever happens around here.
We've got a great show for you today. First up,
we'll be talking with Anna Moscovakis and Tiana Kennedy. They're the founders of a new venture called Catskills Time. It's a time bank, which allows people to trade services without money, but with time.
But first, this week's headlines.
Hikers threatened at gunpoint in Windham.
This is a huge story, Lissa. I know you reported all day yesterday on this, doing hot tip getting.
It was the kind of story that we usually get with just a quick press release or something, and then it's not that interesting. But we actually were able to speak with the victim, and a much more harrowing picture emerged.
So what happened?
Last Friday, a New Jersey hiker was threatened at gunpoint on a hiking trail in Windham in front of her 10-year-old daughter. Sudha Padmidi Mukula, who is a Marlboro, New Jersey resident, was hiking with her daughter and some friends on the Elm Ridge Trail in Windham late Friday night. The group intended to stay at the Elm Ridge lean-to, but when they got there, several men were already camping there, and the two groups began to argue over whether the group would be allowed to stay. Padmidi Mukula stood her ground, and she said one man pointed a shotgun at her and threatened to kill her while her 10-year-old daughter and two fellow hikers looked on. The men later chased them back down the trail, got in their car, and followed the group of hikers as they drove off Peck Road and back to the main road, where they called a DEC ranger who responded along with Greene County Sheriff's deputies. And there were some charges that have been filed in the wake of this incident. 26-year-old Garden City resident Patrick McDonald has been charged with menacing in the second degree as a result of this. And two other people, presumably family members, a 60-year-old Garden City man, also named Patrick McDonald, and 20-year-old John McDonald have been charged by the DEC with erecting a tent in a lean-to, which is a violation.
But that doesn't sound like it really tells the whole story of what happened. What was going on? Do you know? I mean, I know you talked to Padmidi Mukula about this yesterday. What did she say was happening?
Well, she said when she got there that the lean-to was actually sealed up with plastic, that they had stapled plastic around the front of the lean-to, which is it's against state policy. So they had some sort of altercation about whether the group would be allowed to stay. And, the men got angry.
So it could be something as simple as a territory dispute.
Apparently the men told the Greene County police officers that they had been afraid of Padmidi Mukula's dog, who was a lab named Molly. But
can be scary.
From what she said, the dog didn't even bark. This actually didn't even make it into the story, but she told me that they were chastising the dog on the way down the mountain as they were hiking back to the car, saying, you're a terrible guard dog. You didn't even bark at them. So, there's some conflicting accounts of what happened, but it definitely seemed like these guys drastically overreacted, and they certainly scared the hell out of the hiking group.
Well, in front of a 10-year-old girl threatening to shoot the mother,
yes.
I mean, that's pretty egregious.
And the daughter was crying all the way down the hill, as like you would.
Well, and just, I mean, that's not how hikers behave. That's not how hunters behave. I mean, what is going on
here? The story has been... even before we reported on it, Padmidi Mukula posted about it in a message board for Hudson Valley Hikers, which she's been a member of for many years. And this story has been really catching fire among local hikers and people that come up here a lot in order to go hiking and explore the woods. So we got some Facebook comments from people who were saying, hey, I'm really glad you guys wrote about this because I've been hearing about it on the hiker boards and from fellow hikers. And
it's safe to say this is an unusual occurrence,
yes,
on a hiking trail in the Catskills, right?
And, like, an unfortunate and unusual occurrence. We don't hear about things like this often. Lots and lots of people go hiking around here, and it's generally a pretty safe thing to do. I don't know if these guys were hunters. There do tend to be more people in the woods during hunting season, and when you have more people in the woods, some percentage of those are going to be not the nicest people in the universe, but
I just wish there was more info. But this is the kind of story where it doesn't look like anybody really has a definitive line on what happened, aside from the victim, the alleged victim.
Well, and I know she's disappointed with the way that the police handled it. For instance, she said that one of the men threw her to the ground and was kicking her backpack and not allowing her to get up.
Assault to me.
No one was charged with assault.
Right. Allegations, but nothing. No charges.
No one went up to the lean-to to investigate whether they may have been doing something they shouldn't have been doing in the lean-to, which, you know, who can say? So that was... That was our big story.
Well, thank
for
you.
The week.
Yeah, we'll be following that. If there's any more information, we'll definitely get it to you because it's just nuts. You're listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour with this week's headlines. Kind of a change of pace. There is a song going around the intertubes and the regular old airwaves that was penned by a Hancock farmer as an ode to his truck-driving dog. Now, you might imagine that the name of this song would be pretty self-explanatory. In this case, it is Truck-Driving Dog. We have a clip for the music video.
It has a truck-driving dog in it.
Well, I really want to play the song because it's awesome. So here we go. That is Truck Driving Dog, a song written by Hancock vegetable farmer and former Green Party senatorial candidate Mark Danow from Hancock. And it's been getting a lot of attention, most recently on NPR's Car Talk with the driving connection.
They're always looking for songs about driving and cars and trucks and stuff like that.
So if you want to see a video, we have one on our site.
And it's also, he's selling it for 99 cents on iTunes.
That is a fact. It is available in many places and it's pretty cute. What else happened this week, Logan?
Oh, there's a new slaughterhouse in the Catskills. That's actually been operating for a little longer than since this week, but we were able to get a tour of it recently. Eklund Processing, a slaughterhouse and meat processing facility in Stamford, took a small step towards bridging the gap between Catskills meat and Manhattan tables. In order to have local food, you need to have middlemen, and this is going to be a really good thing for local beef farmers.
And pork farmers and goat farmers. And maybe even rabbit and chicken farmers, maybe down the line, maybe.
Yeah. Well, they already do chicken slaughtering, which is they have a state certification for, but they have USDA certification for their larger animal facility that they just opened up, and we were able to get inside and get some pictures. This is pretty cool, I think, because the inside of a slaughterhouse is not something that people have a whole lot of access to. And I think it's great that these
people
guys
are afraid of it. I mean, it's a scary thing to witness in any situation.
Well, we didn't witness a slaughter.
But We did go. We went on a tour. We saw some freshly slaughtered meat. We saw the facility.
Local officials who were very,
non-slaughtered local officials, live and well.
That's a whole other story.
But it's great for the Catskills to have a local slaughterhouse. It means that local meat will actually be able to be processed here.
There was an interview that got done not too long ago by a food blogger in Manhattan that was actually able to video a slaughter in another nearby facility. And somebody from CADE, which is a local meat and agriculture advocacy group, said that it would take about 50 to 75 of these types of facilities to really serve the need for local meat. There's not that many of them. There's just a handful.
Well, there's one more as of this week, which is great.
Cool.
Another news story. A teenager was killed in a house fire in Greenville on Saturday. 17-year-old Vincent Greco, a Coxsackie resident and student in Greenville High, was staying at a friend's house when the fire broke out. The fire broke out Saturday night when an electrical system seemed to go wrong, and the friend, Joseph Cartelli, who was an 18-year-old, and his parents were able to escape the blaze, but Greco was unable to get out in time.
FEMA Catch 22. Getting a FEMA trailer ought to be a no-brainer after a disaster like Irene and Lee, but it's not. Part of the reason for that is that FEMA will not allow you to put the trailer on anywhere that is in danger of flooding.
Like the Catskills?
Like, for instance, your house, which was just flooded out. A lot of people are who have qualified for FEMA trailers are having trouble actually getting them delivered to their property because of this floodplain issue. And some people are reluctant to move into the trailer parks where FEMA would like to put them. So what this means is that only a few of the families that have been approved, and there are over 200 of them, have actually gotten a FEMA trailer. And the trailers are sitting in a lot in Cobleskill.
Yeah, a lot of frustration about that. We've been hearing about it. We will continue to bring you news about it. You're listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour, and there are some strange signs appearing that seem to ally hunters in the Catskills with the Occupy Wall Street movement. several of our correspondents have pointed out that a dozen or so signs saying, "Hunters support Occupy Wall Street, we're bringing venison sandwiches to our fellow protesters," have popped up around the Olivarria Valley and the Big Indian Valley.
If anyone knows any more about that,
we're begging, please tell us what's going on.
Are they actually feeding Occupy Wall Street with venison? Because I'd like to get a picture of that. That's amazing. Who is responsible? Let us know. Flood-damaged roads across the Catskills are reopening. On Monday, the 30-foot-deep ravine on Olivarria Road in Ulster County opened to traffic with a temporary bridge, and there was much rejoicing. The same day, Route 23 between Windham and Prattsville, which has been out for months, also reopened. Too much fanfare. Route 42 in Greene County is still closed and will be until at least February.
Well, two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah, what can you do?
On December 5th, the Ulster County Legislature voted 17-14 to transfer the Golden Hill Nursing Home, which is publicly owned, to the LDC, a privatized company that would begin to...
The Local Development Corporation.
God,
it's the first
totally
step.
Totally confused about that.
It's the first step in privatizing the facility. This is a big thing that Mike Hine, the county executive, has thrown his weight behind, but it's been very controversial in Ulster County.
So it looks like it's going forward.
It's going forward. It's happening.
So those are our top stories around the Catskills this week. You're listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour right here on WIOX 91.3 FM and WGXC 90.7 FM.
Our guests today are Anna Moskovakis and Tiana Kennedy, the founders of Catskill Time, a time bank that they describe as an alternative local labor exchange system that values 1 hour of labor as 1 hour of labor, no matter what the market value of that labor is. Members of the Catskills Time Bank can earn and spend Catskill hours doing whatever it is they're willing to do as part of this local system. The hours are tracked online, and both businesses and individuals can join. Anna and Tiana are two of the group's first five members.
Welcome to the show, Anna and Tiana. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
They're sharing a mic, so we're squishing them. So tell us about time banking. It's been around for a while, but I think a lot of people don't really know what it is.
This is Anna. So time banking is a long tradition of labor exchange. It's had various moments of popularity in the history of the U.S. and internationally, and we can go into that a little bit later. But there's it's basically just a community-based alternative economy in which, as Lissa said, people can exchange hours of labor, and it's very different from traditional bartering because it's the hours you spend and earn are transferable. So if you're a dentist, you can pull somebody's tooth and earn a time hour, and that particular person does not have to pay you back. You can get your payback from somebody else who has a service that you want.
So this is like barter 2.0. This is,
exactly. And you just keep track of the hours online via the website, which is at catskilltime.org.
Yes, we link to it on our site today when we talk about you guys because we want to make sure people can check it out. How does it work practically? Because you guys are some of the first practitioners and you've been doing it for, a couple weeks now? How's it working?
It's working. There are now 20 members. We started as about, 8 of us sitting around a table. Tiana and I both had independently been interested in alternative economies, and I think probably just all of the activity around the Occupy movement made us want to do something in the area, or I certainly felt that way, and just organize, And so we sat around a table with a bunch of friends and proposed this idea. And some of us have been using it since day one and have had, various things done. It takes a while to sort of adjust to this new idea. We're always so pinned to the idea of figuring out how much our hour is worth, and time is money, time is money. And this is really a situation where you just sort of get together with people and decide, no, time is actually time. Mm. And all of our time is worth the same thing. So we've had successes. People have helped stack wood. People have helped. I got some storm windows painted. So far, we've really been focusing on working together, I think, because it's kind of more community spirited that way. So it's like I have a big job. It's going to take me 8 hours alone, but it'll take me 4 hours with a person. And it's worked really well.
What kind of services are people offering now, your current 20 members?
There's a huge array of services from, you know, writing, editing, you know, web consulting, design, to ditch digging. That was a huge conversation at the first meeting, was like, but ditch digging isn't the same value as, you know, but so, I mean, it's also really useful for just getting those things off your to-do list that have been there for years and you just don't get around to doing. Like a friend of ours had their mailbox built by a friend. They'd had this stuff for like 2 years and they just never got to get, you know, around to it. And somebody came over and did it in like a half an hour or something like that. So it's a good way to sort of just galvanize a community that's kind of reluctant to ask each other for help anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, none of us are particularly concerned about, you know, being too critical about the hours spent. And, you know, it's more about just getting people to help each other and to exchange labor.
It's interesting to see it that way, as sort of substituting this lost culture of, oh, I did something for my neighbor did something to me, and we sort of already have an informal bartering, time sharing network in place. It sounds like this is almost a reminder, hey, right, we all have these jobs, maybe I want to pitch in and help you and you help me.
Sounds like it could be a way to sort of expand those networks, because you have those informal relationships with people, you know, your family, your neighbors, and then this is maybe a way to bring people that wouldn't otherwise meet each other or know each other into
exactly.
Actually, I forgot to mention that one particular use that I had was about 15 friends of mine came up to work on a film and they needed some extras, they needed some help, and this woman who I'd never met before showed up via the time bank and ended up being the sound engineer for the film. Like, so, you know, so it was really wonderful. I met a new friend and it's been really fun.
Yeah. And then that same person needed some editing work and I did that editing work for her. So, you know, that's sort of how it can work. It's not a direct exchange, but it does really expand. And it's not meant to replace informal, friendly barter. You know, if you have someone where you regularly trade eggs for having them feed your dog, that's great. This is not meant to replace that at all. It's meant to expand that.
I'm still kind of hung up on this issue of whether ditch digging or web design mm-hmm. should be more
how did you
highly
guys...
compensated. Honestly, they both sound very drudgerous to me.
Well, that's the whole point. An hour of web design has you pulling out your hair, and an hour of ditch digging has you with very sore muscles. And we just, in this world, in this imaginary but real time banking world, both of those labors are worth the same.
So how would that work with you know, a doctor or a lawyer or someone who's really used to being paid much, much more by the hour because they've invested a significant resources in educating themselves and getting to that point?
Well, I guess, you know, the current system isn't fair either. And a lot of unskilled labor, as we call it, is actually skilled and is also, there's been a lot of time invested in accruing those skills. I'm, you know, thinking about farming, for instance, and so whether, you know, for instance, educators and migrant workers aren't compensated for the amount of work that they put in right now, you know, on scale, on par with, you know, Major League Baseball players or whatever. So this is just a way to, you know, bring it all down to one level.
So how exactly are you encountering the biggest, I'm trying not to phrase this question in terms of what's the priciest hour of labor you have on your time bank, you know, because I'm just falling into that same old trap, but have you gotten some rather valuable quote-unquote
sound engineer? Sounds like something that you would
some of us already have put in hours that would be worth, I mean, I don't know, $80-$100 or something. It's you know, it depends. If you're a union sound engineer, you probably make a lot. But I think the real point of it is that, you know, this is going to be appealing to people who have a hunch that there's something unfair about that discrepancy in wages anyway. It may not be appealing to people who feel like that's all well and good.
We're talking with Anna Moskovakis and Tiana Kennedy, the founders of a Catskills Time Bank called Catskills Time. I have another question for you guys, but could you possibly find yourselves completely overworked by the Time Bank, logging 200-hour time weeks? Could you sort of be replicating the ills of our current money, hour economy, and the Time Bank at some point?
Just because it's a totally voluntary system, so it's not like you have to log in the morning and log out at night. So you only offer the skills you're comfortable offering, and you only commit to the time that you're comfortable committing to.
Okay, so but at some point, what if you accumulate hundreds of hours?
And you would, Jules. You wouldn't do that unless you wanted to. Right?
But these are the questions that
no
newbies.
One's press ganging you into the Time Bank.
Lissa thought that was a dumb question.
Look at me talking like I know what I'm talking about.
Actually,
I wanted to ask about more the community level aspects of this, because this has been an experiment that other cities or communities have tried that has become more of a large scale effort.
All right. Be transparent here. What other cities and communities are you talking
about? Well, I'm thinking particularly of Ithaca because I've lived there, but that's a little different because their time share actually turned into a local currency called Ithaca Hours.
What is the difference? How does that work?
Well, they actually can, banks can make loans in Ithaca Hours.
Gotcha.
And local retailers accept Ithaca Hours as part of, money paid for goods and services. So that's a little bit more ambitious, but it's a demonstration of what these things can turn into. But I'd just like to know kind of what your ambitions are and how you see this working on a community level.
Well, I think the first ambition is to broaden beyond our 20 friends who are part of the Time Bank now. So we really encourage anyone who's listening and who finds this interesting to check out the website, catskillstime.org, and see if it seems interesting. We have a monthly potluck / orientation meeting to bring in new members. So the first order of business is really just to expand beyond our own, the people we already know. But yes, in terms of, the real difference between a fully fledged alternative currency and a pure time bank is, whether there's printed money, which I think facilitates certain kinds of transactions. Mm-hmm. We don't have the intention to print money anytime soon. But the other thing is whether goods are included as well as services. And that gets a little tricky because you do have to place some kind of value on the goods, which takes away the really clean hour for hour thing. Mm-hmm. But it also expands a lot what can happen. And we've heard from some farmers that they would really like to participate, but that they worry during the growing season they wouldn't be able to spare any hours and that they would like to be able to exchange goods. So we're figuring out a way to do that based sort of on the Ithaca Hours model and other banks which have included goods in less formal ways.
I just think the whole thing it's very difficult to grasp. I find myself trying to imagine the transaction, right? So you're on the website, catskillstime.org, and you type in, okay, I did 3 hours of web editing. In exchange for this guy's hour of a ditch dug, can you just walk me through the transaction?
Yeah, that's not how it works. Tiana, why don't you do it?
Okay, so you go online, and you can either make an offer or a request, like, hey, I'm excellent at haircuts. I'm gonna put down that if anybody wants a haircut, come to me, and so the people that are online can see that, and they can either take that up or not, depending on your, whether or not they trust you, I guess, or they're brave or whatever. But you can also put in a request, like, I have like 17 bins of papers in my garage that I'm never going to get to, and I really need help organizing that, so you put, can somebody please help me? And then you can tag it by skill. And so anybody with the skill of home organization or whatever would receive an email saying, please help me do this. And so then you just arrange a time between yourselves. Usually when you make a request, you write down how many hours you're thinking it's going to take and when and where. And then you go about that exchange and you go online to the website and you give her the 3 hours it took. So on her little profile, it's like Facebook a little bit. You get a little profile. You have the time that you've earned under your picture. And so they now have three points, basically, three mm-hmm. hours.
So the website keeps track of how many hours you have paid into the system.
Exactly. And then and then that person could spend those 3 hours on anything she wanted, any okay. other offer or service.
Okay.
And it never expires. So that's why it's a bank and not it's really not an exchange. Ah. It's like you put hours into your account and you take hours out when you want to spend them on something else.
And the way you get into the system, but there can be a time delay, is by putting in some hours.
Yes, but you, when you join, you can actually go into debt up to 25 hours, so you can start using the bank. You can start spending hours before you earn them. And
it's like a loan.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's to get it going,
incentive,
you know.
To join.
Yeah, but you don't have to go 25 hours in debt.
Our debtor prison. Okay, thank you. That really helped actually sort of clarify what it is. I have to wrap up, guys. Our guests today were Anna Moskovakis and Tiana Kennedy, the founders of a Catskills Time bank called Catskills Time. You can find it at catskillstime.org. And they are looking for new fellow travelers in this new alternative non-currency system of banking. Very cool. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We really appreciate you coming into the studio. You are listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour from WIOX 91.3 FM. We have a bunch of events this week because Christmas season, holiday season is just gearing up faster than we can even keep track. This weekend, one of many things is the Catskill Cabaret Radio Potluck and Cabaret at the Pine Hill Community Center, which WIOX happens to broadcast live on 91.3 FM and WIOXradio.org. This will be Saturday night at 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Bring a dish to pass and your best questions for the best advice columnist anywhere in the five counties that we cover. She's a very motherly figure and she gives it to you straight up. I love her so much.
She's fantastic. Also on Saturday, December 10th, is Uncle Rock's Holiday Hootenanny at the WDST building in Bearsville. Uncle Rock returns to Kidtopia for a Holiday Hootenanny featuring holiday sing-along songs, face painting, snacks, and a visit from Rock and Roll Santa.
Uh-oh.
That's at 11 to 1 on Saturday.
Also this weekend, the Phoenicia Festival of the Voice founders and chief opera singers are going to be having a holiday performance at the Orpheum Performing Arts Center on Main Street in Tannersville. It's called A Holiday of Song at the Orpheum. It's going to be awesome. The Phoenicia Voice Fest people are fantastic. Louis Ote, Maria Tadaro,
and it's free, right? They're doing this for the community.
It's free. It's going to be sort of a grab bag of holiday songs sung by true professionals, international
And the
stars.
Revelries will continue after the concert with hot cider and caroling down Main Street in Tannersville. This should be really fun.
That's Saturday night at 6 p.m.
Sixth annual holiday train wreck on Saturday with Peter Schickele, Gillis Malkin, and
Mikhail Horowitz.
I'm so not getting those names right. I just know it. That's at the Bearsville Theater.
Schickele, we think.
On Tinker Street in Woodstock. Dedicated to laughing at, not with, Christmas, Hanukkah, and Kwanzaa, the sixth annual holiday train wreck, a comedy review featuring Professor Peter Schickele and Doctors of Jivology, Mikhail Horowitz, and again, I'm going to mess this
up. Gilles Maquin. I'm just pretending to have a good French accent now.
They will perpetuate their usual poetic and philosophical mishigas, and Schickele will be aided and abetted by four vocalists. I'm not even going to try with these names anymore. These look like easy names, but you never know. That's at Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Bearsville Theater.
Yeah, that looks great.
It looks like a fun time.
Tongue twisters aside, I'm excited about it. On Friday at 8 p.m. and with also performances on Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2, the Catskill Ballet is presenting the full-length Nutcracker. Anybody's holiday tradition cannot be without it. At UPAC at 601 Broadway in Kingston.
It wouldn't be Christmas without the Nutcracker.
Right.
The Oneonta Theater is showing a family film on Saturday at 11. That would be Prancer. 11 a.m. Saturday, Oneonta Theater. Be there.
Yes. unless you're sick of holiday stuff, which case you're frankly out of luck. But all of these events and more are featured in our This Weekend column.
It's going to be all holiday all the time until the end of
the
Christmas.
End of the holiday?
Yes.
www.watershedpost.com/thisweekend. This wraps up this week's edition of the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour. The Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour originates from the studios of WIOX 91.3 FM in Roxbury, New York. Our technical guru, who also endures some cute songs that he needs to make into clips for us, is Mike Teitelbaum. He really likes the dog song. Our theme music is by Fred Harris of Aleph & Company in Delhi. The cheesy banter and gentle mispronunciations.
Oh, yes.
I should say.
Oh, those. Listen, you should copyright
cheesy
some of those
banter and mispronunciations are all ours.
Please join us every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here at WIOX 91.3 FM. And at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WatershedPost.com, the source for news and information in the Catskills.